the keynote speaker that year was LeVar Burton. We hadn't even really got off the stage, but you couldn't see us. And we sat there for 7 minutes and he just cried. And I just held his hand. I was like, what does this mean to you? He's like, this means the world. It's sponsored by Family Search. It's called Roots Tech. And really, we just want to open it up, open doors to everyone in the industry. We provide this. You know, the church subsidizes, you know, being able to put on this kind of a large conference for people to come to, because we want everyone, no matter what your skill level, age, ethnicity, to be able to connect with their family. And there's a place here waiting for you.
For your business, yeah, we're on the Lord's time, sharing his love and his life. Welcome to another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. I'm your host, Andrew Smith. I'm here with my brothers, Will, Maurice, and Isaiah. And today we have a special guest, Tom Reed from Family Search.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be in the foyer with you, brothers.
Yes, sir. Before we get in our episode, we just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Serve Clothing. Serve Clothing has some of the best clothes out there. They are the shirts with the vents. These are dress shirts that you can wear in the office or out on the mission field. If you have a missionary that's currently out right now and they're serving in a hot climate, they're going to want these shirts. They have vents on the side. The breathability is next to none, as well as they go all the way up to 5X now. So big backs, big brothers, you guys can breathe. You're going to be able to not sweat in the office or on the field. So check the shirts out. Use our code FOYERFAM in the checkout. If you like our videos and you want other people to know about them, best way to do that is to share, like, and comment. When you do those things, you are able to be able to reach more people who are looking for content like ours, and being able to make an impact helps us so much. And so we really want to share appreciation for that as well. And if you are inclined to support our podcast, we do have links down below in the description so that you can be able to help us grow and be able to keep the conversations going. So let's go ahead and get into it. Okay. Tom, thank you so much for being here. Like, honestly, this is an honor for you to come and sit down with the brothers in the foyer and being able to talk about genealogy, family history, and of course, Roots Tech.
Yep.
Up as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you. This is obviously, I live and breathe this. That's why I'm wearing, you know, the team jersey today. and this is a long time coming. I mean, I know, you know, you and I go back kind of way back with your mother and family history stuff. And so I'm glad I get a chance to talk to the brothers about this. This is for us. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that's happening for African Americans in genealogy. And I'm just glad that I can share and have this conversation with you guys.
Definitely.
Awesome. Definitely.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I guess that kind of starts my question. First, I guess we kind of want to get to know you. Our viewers at home are watching you. They want to kind of get to know who you are.
Sure.
Can you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah. So Tom Reed, I spell my name with an H. That's always different growing up. My dad was junior. I'm the third, actually. So
okay, I'm the third too.
So when I was playing hoops back in the day, like I was getting letters from all kinds of colleges and stuff like that. And there was to Thomas Reed. And my dad was like, why am I getting this stuff? I'm like, it ain't for you, dad. So changed it with an H and stuff like that. Originally grew up in Central Illinois.
Okay.
Joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at age 18 as a convert. My best friend, scrawny little white dude, baptized me. He's still scrawny. I am not like Will was back in the day. But been out here in Utah for the last 15 years. And for the last 12 years, I've been with Family Search. Wow. And it was not I wasn't going that route. I went to BYU. Shout out to the Cougars. They helped pay for my education. I know they aren't sponsoring. I'm sorry.
Maybe one day.
Dean Madrian. Like, I know you. Come on now. Help us out.
Hook us up with some of that milk.
But I went to BYU. And when I graduated, I had the blessing of going to work for Procter & Gamble. So I was a marketer. I was advertising, you know, brand management. I went to the mother load of advertising. Going to P&G, and that was some hard years. And then coming out of that, after about 3 years, decided, okay, let's take my path and my talent somewhere else, and went back home to work for a man actually who was a Harvard MBA and president of a company back in my hometown in Bloomington. Went there, and then the economy tanked. And when the economy tanked, that was we struggled, lost kind of everything, and came to Utah to restart ourselves, and had a really bumpy 3 years until I landed at Family Search. Wow. So it's actually a pretty deep story, but I'll save that for another episode.
Yeah, part two.
Well,
awesome. So you talked about how you went through these struggles and it got you all the way now to Family Search.
Mm-hmm.
like the passion behind family history, how did that come about?
Yeah.
Especially with African-American genealogy.
Right.
How did that all start?
What right. Like, I mean, that wasn't my thing. Yeah. However, it's interesting. About 2 years after I got to Family Search, you know, I try and read my patriarchal blessing every month, fast Sunday in the morning. I'm just get down and get to my patriarchal blessing. And what insights do I have this month from it? Mm. And a couple of years after I've been at Family Search, I started reading this paragraph and I was like, wait a minute. This is talking about me engaged in the family history program of the church, and that my work would allow me not only to, you know, provide for my family, mm-hmm. but to serve in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is wait a minute. This was in 1994 to, you know, a guy like I was like 21 years old.
Yeah.
Right. And this was, I was like, wow, this is amazing how the Lord prophesied for me, if I followed his path and his plan, that I would be doing this. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt like after a couple, I was like, wow, maybe I am supposed to be here, you mm-hmm. know, yeah. but really what kind of solidified it for me was, you know, I got asked to do a project for Family Search. And after the conclusion of that project, I went to Ghana. Mm. And when I went to Elmina, Ghana, I went to the slave castle that was there. And I have to share this picture with you because it's one of the most poignant episodes in my life. I'm standing in the male slave dungeon. Mm-hmm. Our whole group had gone through the door of no return that leads out to the path that the plank that goes out to the ships that, you know, moved our people over here. And after having that experience, I walk back into the male slave dungeon and I'm standing there and I just need a moment to myself. Everybody else in my party was white. So here I am, the brother in there. And I was in all, you know, I was feeling all the feels to the point that I started feeling the walls and I could feel the claw marks. Like in this slave dungeon was a place where like 2,000 to 3,000 men would have been held ready to ship to the New World. Mm. And I touched that wall because I was trying to connect with them. And I remember in that moment how God spoke to me and said, you are here so that they will be remembered. Mm. You are here so that they will be connected. You are here because these are my children and they need the saving ordinances of the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think like I was single-handedly going to do it myself, mm-hmm. but I knew I had a purpose. And that purpose has fueled me till this day. I mean, that moment, like I'm going to be honest, I was mad. Let's just say that in that moment. Cause I'm like, how did people do this to my people?
Yeah.
Right? Like 2,000 men shackled in this slave dungeon.
Yeah.
And God didn't say, oh, it was okay. Don't worry about it, Tom. He's like, no, you are here because you are going to make a difference for them. Mm-hmm. The shackles that held them were earthly shackles, but they're heavenly shackles that need to be broken that you and your work will allow to happen. And I was like, okay, I'm in. God, I am all in. I use me as you can.
Oh, got chills. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that made me just think of just the scripture where you would set liberty to the captives.
Mm-hmm.
That just honestly made me think of, you know, we're those saviors on Mount Zion. You know, we're there to be able to help our ancestors and help them be able to be free.
This is the responsibility we all have, right? Yeah. We're covenant, you know, making and keeping Latter-day Saint men. We have that obligation to seek out our kindred dead and free them from spirit prison. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
So
I want to highlight the catalyst. I mean, it sounds like your patriarchal blessing was something that really started that flame to help you get to where you were my purpose.
Well, it wasn't because I never read it that way.
Right? Yeah.
It was just that one day, like, wait a minute, this is in my patriarchal blessing. You. Like it had been there from the jump. Yeah. Right. And it just was at that time, it finally caught my attention to what it meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that was like, oh, okay. So I am where the Lord needs me to be. Cause I think maybe that's what my question was, mm-hmm. Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Here I am. You know, I done lost 3 jobs in 3 years in Utah. And feeling like I can't do nothing as a man to provide for my family. And now you throw me into this Family Search thing, which was kind of like a hoax and kind of random that I got this job. And then I'm like, do I really need to be here? Is this is what I really need to do? And that's when I read my patriarchal blessing.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And maybe that kind of just sheds light on how we maybe need to approach our patriarchal blessings. Because some people, I think on the outside of members of the church or just people even inside the church, they think it's like this fortune cookie.
Mm-mm. No,
it's not. It's it's something that gives us inspiration and revelation. But I think it almost... our perspectives change as we go throughout our lives.
100%.
I think that's what's important to look at. It's not just this one time. It's kind of like scripture. I mean, it essentially it is personal scripture.
Personal scripture. Yeah.
So think about those scriptures that you listened to or you read 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where you were at. It hit different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It so hits versus different. Where you're at yeah. now,
right?
You're more humble. Your eyes are open and your understanding is a... Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I didn't realize what my patriarchal blessing was talking about, my mission, until I was in the mission field. And I was like, oh, it said I was supposed to have companions. So that must mean
while I'm serving right now.
Excuse me, right? And I was like, oh, so this is what it was talking about. And I'm in the mission field already.
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah. So it just hits different at different times, especially as you prayerfully go seeking wisdom from God. You know, just use that like, you know, that's your personal scripture.
Yeah.
Right. You can study the standard works and everything when you've got a question you want to ask God and you want to learn something from him, and he'll teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He'll reveal it through prayer, through revelation, you know, that you receive through the scriptures, but through your own personal scriptures and your patriarchal blessing. So
100%.
Got to go home and read my patriarchal blessing now.
every first Sunday. First thing I do, that's my scripture study that morning.
That's good. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I know it's called multivalent. I think that's the word where something can have a true meaning, but it has a dual meaning. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that is within the scriptures as well, and that can apply for our patriarchal blessings.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That things have multiple meanings.
That's true. Yeah.
Definitely. So we've talked about you went to Ghana, you had this experience.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much set the stage for you getting into family history. There's been some big impacts lately within African American genealogy, like the
Freedmen's Bureau.
That's the word. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that's made an impact for African Americans?
Yeah. So you know that there's few things that have happened really in the last 10 years that have really impacted African-American genealogy. Because like the big myth for us, you know, people look at African-Americans are like, hey, you know, there are no records for you, you know, slavery and stuff like that. Well, that's not true. I think one of the things I see is people trying to jump into their family history and trying to make their Kunta Kinte moment the first thing they do, right? how can I get back to Africa? Well, do you know your great grandparents?
Yeah.
Because they're in the 1930 census, right? Exactly. and stuff like that, right? So when we did the Freedmen's Bureau project, I led kind of this national effort to document records that we'd received from the National Archives, that Family Search had from the National Archives, mm-hmm. that had not been indexed. So, you know, Family Search, everybody's into indexing and stuff like that, like looking at these documents and stuff. Well, these records for African Americans post-Civil War. So the Freedmen's Bureau was, you know, existed from 1865 to 1872, and it documented the lives of, you know, coming out of enslavement for a new generation of freed blacks in America. And so it was like, you know, labor contracts and, you know, ration records and medical records and marriage records and all kinds of stuff were created for the first time because it had been illegal for blacks to marry in many states, mm-hmm. you know, prior to emancipation. And so the Freedmen's Bureau was an organization that the government, you know, created to be able to support newly freed blacks and even poor white Southerners and other folks. And so the government kept records of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And those records were held in the National Archives. And in 20, actually, y'all know Darius Gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My brother Darius Gray, right? He actually worked on a precursor to the Freedmen's Bureau records from the Freedmen's Bank, which was a separate institution, same time period, 1865, 1872. President was Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
And Darius worked with inmates at the Utah State, you know, penitentiary, mm-hmm. to index those records. And those were launched in 2001.
Wow.
And those had, and from that work, they were able to identify 480,597 names of African Americans who put their money in this bank. Mm. So here I am on the, you know, riding on the coattails of Darius Gray in 2015 and launched this national thing. We actually had Elder Christofferson that helped us with the national launch in California in 2015. We had Jermaine and Kimbe Sullivan. You might remember Jermaine from Meet the Mormons.
Yep.
He was part of that. Your mother was part of that, that kickoff that we did. And in 366 days, we indexed all the records that were genealogically relevant from the Freedmen's Bureau. It ended up being 1,781,463 names.
Wow.
So I always hold that over Darius's head. That, you know, my work was four times as impactful as, no, I'm just kidding. But think about 1.8 million names essentially is what we discovered from that project alone. Mm-hmm. And that has been a catalyst to help people doing slave ancestor research kind of break through that 1870 brick wall. 1870, the first U.S. census that we were enumerated as free black people in mass, right? Mm-hmm. And these records go beyond that, go back further than that. And so it allows that kind of conduit into additional records, right? I've got a woman in Buffalo, New York. So Alicia, I'm gonna have to send this episode to you because I remember helping her connect with her enslaved ancestor. And because of the Freedmen's Bureau records, we were able to identify her enslaved ancestors enslaver and go back further to where he originally came from in South Carolina in 1812. Right. Because and it was because of the Freedmen's Bureau records, we were able to make that connection and go back further for her. So that has been a game changer in family history for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But really, you ain't got to get back to the Freedmen's Bureau, records to really have success with family history. It starts now, starts in 1950 census and going back and all that kind of stuff. So, I appreciated being a part of that, but there's much more work that we've done since then.
Yeah.
That's been just as impactful as well.
Mm. So right. What are the more things that you guys are?
Oh man. Well,
a preview.
Some stuff's coming out at Roots Tech, right? Okay, okay. So, and stuff came out last year at Roots Tech that really helps African American research. But I mean, I'm involved in a project with a company called American Ancestors out of Boston, New England Historical Genealogical Society. Mm. They are running this 10 million names project, which is actually an effort to document the names of the nearly 10 million men, women, and children who were enslaved in the United States between 1619 and 1865. So we're trying to get every name. This is not like a 2-year project. This is like a 20, 30-year project. And from that, we create that database of those enslaved people and the family connections down to living descendants. Mm. Think about the work that we're doing with 10 million names. I'm on the genealogist council for 10 million names. We have a scholars council. Mm-hmm. Henry Louis Gates is on the advisory board. Y'all know Skip Gates and Finding Your Roots and stuff like that. Like, so this is this effort that's happening now and we're working with all kinds of African Americans in the genealogical community to bring, whatever they have and going everywhere to find all these records. Because the records are there. Mm-hmm. The records just haven't been brought to light.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm constantly chasing records and down in Kentucky and, some military records, a Civil War guy, and I mean, I'm just that's what we do at Family Search is try and collect all that stuff. Right. And I got a full-time job. So that tells you that I stay busy doing all this stuff. Jobs, right.
Yeah, sure. No, that's awesome. Cause for me personally, my great grandmother just passed away a few years ago, and I was trying to go talk to her and interview her and find out these things. And I was like, how do you I was asking her a question about people before her, and she just didn't really have any idea, mm-hmm. And I'm like, how am I supposed to go any further with genealogy and all these other things?
That's hard. I mean, it is hard because there's a generation of our people who don't like to talk about the past because it was hard, for folks back then, right?
Yeah, the skeleton sometimes.
So, you gotta kind of be stealthy and get the little breadcrumbs, the little things she drops about where maybe she went to school when she was a kid. And that will give you, clues to where to look for stuff like that. Or, the hardest thing amongst our people is nicknames.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many of y'all got a June bug?
June bug, big mom. Yeah. Mama, yeah,
right? That makes it even tougher, right? But you can work. Keep at it. You know, that's the thing that I tell people. You look today and can't find something, look tomorrow. Literally, Family Search and other, like Ancestry and other, you know, organizations are cranking out content, like every new content every day to make it so that we can make these connections.
Gotcha. That's amazing.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. Like, what are some challenges that African Americans face? And then how is Family Search and Rootex using their technology to address some of those concerns?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the availability of records. There is, you know, for a lot of Western European, you know, our brothers and sisters who have Western European and British roots and things like that, records are available for them.
Oh, yeah.
But for us, those records aren't as available. So, I mean, it just takes a little bit more effort and time more than anything else. And so the biggest challenge is people want to, you know, like I said, they want that instant Kunta Kinte moment, right? And that doesn't happen that way. You have to put in the time and work and effort. But Family Search has resources available. Like, you know, we do virtual consultations. So you literally, like, because COVID, we started trying to help people, you know, all over the world. And so we had to set up virtual consultations where you could talk to a research specialist. You could say, hey, I got this, you know, I talked to my great grandmother and she talked about her brother Junebug. And I don't know what his real name is. And this is where they lived in 1920 and stuff like that. Can you help me? And Family Search, the consultants will actually give you some guidance and tips and points on what you can do to kind of start going from there and leveraging that. They might even find a record for you or a book or something else that's available. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, like, I say, just work with your whole family, right? You may be trying to do stuff, but the more you talk to multiple people, you start hearing little things and you can start to put the pieces of the puzzle together, right? When you're trying to do it alone, it's just you. Yeah. But when you talk to your grandmama, your auntie, you know, your uncle about the same things, all of a sudden you're starting to hear, wait a minute,
stories,
they're saying the same thing about the same person.
To the puzzle.
Pieces of the puzzle start to come together, right? So I think that's not something Family Search is doing. Obviously, that's something that you can do.
Right.
But we've tried to make it easier. You know, we've, last year, 2024, my baby was kind of creating an African-American landing page where you can search for, like, one of the challenges when you get, you know, on big databases like Family Search, you know, we've got, 13 billion plus, you know, records that you can search on Family Search. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're looking for, let's just say Isaiah Gray, right? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to use your last name on this camera? One. Okay. People know who you are. But Isaiah Gray isn't a unique name. I'm sure there's lots of Isaiah Grays out there. But if you're looking for your family, let's say you're a third or something, like, you know, Andrew and I are, you want to find the Black Isaiah Grays. So we've already created this filter on this page that filters out those who are non-Black, that records that were Isaiah Grays were indexed and listed as African-American or Black in certain records. It could be a death record, could be a census record, could be a marriage record, could be a military record. All those records for Blacks are available on our African American landing page. And so that makes it easier. So you don't have to filter through all the noise to be able to look at that kind of stuff and find something for your family. That's just one of the things that we've been doing.
So I found a discrepancy in my own personal name. So for people that are doing their family search, and I'll give you the example. So my name is Isaiah Gray.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother on my dad's side, she had two male partners, right? So I found out through my family search that my grandpa, so my dad's last name is actually Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be like Isaiah Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave us the Gray name because that was the man that was in her life and was present.
Mm-hmm.
So going down the line, should I really be researching the Harris for bloodline or the Gray side?
Yes. That's the answer. You're doing both, right? I mean, and again, if it's biological, you follow that biological line. So you look for Harris. And fortunately for you, you know why the name switch happened, right? And that happens a lot for lots of different people, regardless of ethnicity. You know, you have folks that are coming over on, you know, on the boats and immigrating to the United States through Ellis Island, have a name, you know, in Poland that they anglicize it and it's different. And, you know, how do you find that kind of stuff? So yours is, again, that kind of parentage in that event was maybe different than what it was told to be, you know, and so now you're following the Harris line. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just follow that Harris line if you want that biological connection. And if you know that that biological connection is there in the records, then follow that line by all means.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I have a similar thing where it goes from Anderson to Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been kind of a struggle. Like, do I follow the Anderson line or follow the Maxwell line?
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for me, honestly, is whenever I get involved in research and people ask me these questions. So you ask me this on the spot. Normally, I would make it a matter of prayer, mm-hmm. right? I'd go to the Lord and be like, Lord, where do I need to go? Which line do I need to follow?
Yeah.
And why? And help me understand and reveal to me why. Mm-hmm. And he leads you down that path. I remember we're in this studio, right? And we walked past Congressman Burgess Owens' office. And I remember helping him. And I remember literally, I'm like praying, like, Heavenly Father, he wants some help. I want to kind of prep before I meet with him, you know, to show him some things, lead me to the right direction, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord led me to the right direction, like to find his ancestor, Silas Burgess, in Freedmen Bureau records.
Wow.
Right. And then that solidified the story that he had always heard about his family. Mm-hmm. And actually was able to take him back, you know, in his family line to that man, Silas Burgess, who was very influential, I think in North Carolina and establishing a black church and black school and all this kind of stuff. But I wouldn't have known what to do if I wouldn't have gone to the Lord and asked in prayer.
Gotcha.
Right. So that whenever you come across that, like make it, it can be a very spiritually rewarding and spiritually revelatory experience if you approach it that way.
I think I find at least people that I know, like that's like a super awesome tip. Just like you're involve the Lord in this because it's his work.
It's his children.
Know? Yeah.
Right, knows them. He knows where they lived and all that kind of stuff. Right. He gonna help you get there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is gathering Israel. Just Mo was saying is like, if this is the biggest thing he wants us to accomplish is bringing all of his children together and getting this all connected, why wouldn't he open doors and give you hints and give you inspiration to where to look? I've heard so many stories about that of people just saying, I just got led to this. I don't know why mm-hmm. I looked here
mm-hmm.
and I finally found that person I've been looking for years. Mm-hmm. Have you had experiences like that?
Oh, the Lord like moves the mouse for me sometimes.
Yeah.
okay, I'm scrolling down this page. Which one of these should I click on? Click on the sixth one.
Okay.
Boom. It's the one. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like I had five other choices ahead and the Lord told me click on move your mouse down this one and click there and open it up. I mean, I do that with people. It's great when it happens with people and I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I sat down with my stake president a few years ago and I showed him how to do his own family history. And he's like, well, I want to do the same thing with my wife. So you kind of teach me the process you went through. He's like, so I was like, okay, cool. Just let's do this. And he's like, my wife's from Puerto Rico. And I was like, oh, I don't know nothing about Puerto Rican research. I'm African American stuff. You know, I've done some white stuff, help people, but Puerto Rico, like that's going to be tough, man. So, but again, involving the Lord, you know, in that moment, I'm praying, like, lead me to where it is. Right. And so I'm sitting with him and I'm like, well, you know what? I don't, honestly, President, I don't know about Puerto Rican records. So let's go to the Family Search Wiki, Research Wiki. Mm-hmm. So we've got this whole wiki that you can go ask like all kinds of questions, look everywhere around the world. Like, you know, I think millions of pages on the wiki. And I went to Puerto Rican records and then it showed me to the collection that was available on Family Search. And I was like, so let's just try. Give me the name maybe that you want to share, you know, that would be helpful for your wife to know.
Yeah.
Like, let's put her grandmother name in. You know, grandmother's name. And sure enough, put her grandmother's name in, clicked on it. And he's like, that's her. That's the grandmother because that's her mom. Because I see her mom on the same record in Puerto Rico. I don't know what the record was, but I'd never touched any records for Puerto Rico before. I prayed. The Lord told me to go to the wiki. From the wiki, I went to the collection. In the collection, we put in a name. And he was like bawling. He's like, my wife's going to be like amazed by all this. I'm like, yeah, That's what the Lord does. He's an amazing God.
Right? You know, okay, this is a little off topic. It just made my brain click. So you guys know off that scene in Hitch where he wants to show that girl her ancestry from Ellis Island. They're looking in the book.
Oh yeah.
And he looks in there and he sees the name and he's like, this is your great grandfather or whatever. And then she just instantly starts crying because it doesn't. There's some history there that she didn't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me think of just how you can just find records anywhere in anything and find out backstories. And maybe that's, we'll cut this out, but I just thought it was hilarious.
It just
came to my mind about,
it's relevant.
You just never know what you can find where.
You talk about the impact on people. So one of the amazing experiences I had at Roots Tech, I know we're going to talk about, what's happening at Roots Tech, which is coming in just a few weeks. But in 2017, after the completion of the Freedmen's Bureau project, in 2017, Roots Tech, we had a kind of African Heritage Day, which was the Friday session. So we brought in three black genealogists. Your mom was on stage as one of the ones as well, as well as Kenyatta Berry and Melvin Collier. But our keynoter that year.
Melvin Collier.
Yeah.
He's my cousin.
You know Melvin?
Yeah, he's my cousin.
All right, Melvin.
Him and my mom are the genealogists.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know this connection, right?
Wow.
The keynote speaker that year was LeVar Burton, right? And I think maybe I'm bragging a little bit, but I'm not trying to brag. But the single most impactful and emotional session at Roots Tech ever was after he gave his keynote. I went out on stage dressed in my whole African garb that I'd just gotten back from Ghana and I shared with him some things that he'd never seen before in his family history. Like I showed, I think it was a death certificate. The marriage certificate of his grandfather, and on it was his grandfather's actual signature, right? He'd never seen his grandfather, and that just took him back to the man that he loved as his grandfather and to see that tangible evidence of his life preserved in this record. And then we went back and kind of went to, I can't remember, I think it was third great grandparents who were enslaved in Mississippi, and that just broke him down. Mm-hmm. On stage, here is LeVar Burton, Reading Rainbow guy, Jordy LaForge, all this stuff. Yeah. He is just bawling and he throws his hand. And he's like, those are my people. Mm. And we walked off stage. He was just shook. Right. Wow. We walked backstage and he's like, can I get a chair? And we just sat really outside of, you couldn't see us, but we hadn't even really got off the stage, but you couldn't see us. And we sat there for 7 minutes and he just cried. And I just held his hand. I was like, what does this mean to you? He's like, this means the world, right? This, I can't wait to share this with my family.
Yeah.
I never knew that I would feel this way. And he's like, the man who played Kunta Kinte in Roots, now being gifted this at his age, he just said, I don't have words. He could not express the gratitude in his heart and how much he just felt a connection to those people that he'd never felt before. It was truly a remarkable experience.
Full circle.
Yeah. It was cool. And I got to be there to witness it.
Yeah.
Got to hang out with him. I went to Hollywood and we had a private lunch afterwards and I got to share, I gave everything to him on a little flash drive and with all the documents and everything that we had, because we gave him a book then, but we wanted to give him the electronic version too. So I had an opportunity to follow up with him and that again. Amazing how it impacts people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that whole experience with him, it just goes to show how I'm gonna how the hearts are turned to the fathers and the fathers are turned to the children.
Mm-hmm.
That's just every time I talk about family history, it's just more and more relevant of how that scripture is being fulfilled in a lot of ways.
But the Lord's prophecies come true.
Yeah,
right.
Always.
Yeah. He prophesied it. He told Joseph Smith a little bit differently, but still,
it was the same prophecy, right?
Right.
We got to do this work, or else, we'll be smitten with a curse, and I don't want that curse. No. Not coming on me, right? Not because I didn't do my work,
right?
Right.
Definitely. Right. No, and it's really powerful. It is. I think that's where I found myself and who I was, and I feel like when I got into family history at the age of like 19, 20, when my mom, after years of telling me like, hey, come on, you know, come to the genealogy center, you know, like I was like, ah, that's boring, you know. But after searching for years of trying to figure out who I was, you know, I was able to find myself. And I feel like that same power that I felt at the age of 19 doing baptisms for the dead for my ancestors is the same power that I feel going into the temple today doing those same ordinances, you know? And so it's really empowering, and it really can help an individual figure out who they are and where they can go, you know? And it helps not only us, but our ancestors. You know, I feel such a weight and a responsibility to help them, you know, and to make sure that they are found and, and that I know their story and that I'm trying to live their legacy, you know, throughout in my life. So yeah, it's so powerful. It's powerful.
It really is. And I know like we've hit on this a little bit, but I mean, how can really this allow like FamilySearch, RootsTech, all the technology that's involved help us really be reconnected, you know, to our roots and like the significance behind that? And I know we talked about it a little bit, but what have you seen in terms of really finding our roots and being connected to it? How can that help us individually or as a family?
Yeah, I mean,
really learn who we are.
Interestingly enough, there was a study done by Marshall Duke at Emory University, and in it, it talked about like the resilience that children get by knowing their story, knowing the family history and who they are because of where they come from. And they, you know, through evidence and stuff like that, Robin Fivish came to RootsTech actually last year and talked about that study and the impact that it's had on people. And I just watch it. I see how it heals hearts, right? I see how it just changes people when they can connect and they know who they're from. So, you know, my calling in the Genesis group, and last Sunday we had a young woman who talked about her cousin, Emory Douglas. Emory Douglas was a member of the Black Panther Party. He was over art, minister of culture and things like that, right? And so a couple of years ago, her mother and Emory's daughter came to the FamilySearch library downtown Salt Lake, and I had the opportunity to meet with them. And I got to tell you, this sister was hard. Like Emory Douglas's daughter was kind of hard. She was like, right, you know, what y'all trying to do up in here? You know, like that. Like she was a militant sister, right? Yeah, you know, yeah, like yeah, that Black Panther, like the DNA had kind of come down into her as well. And Tamu, like, kind of gave it was Tamu who told me about her. Like she was like, you know, hey Tom, you know, you got to kind of delicately here, right? And I was like, okay, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna do whatever, right? But the thing was, her heart just like poured open when we found the census record that showed her father, Emory, and showed the rest of the family who she knew, uncles and stuff like that, and a child that she had never known about. And she looked at this census record and was like, who is this child? And so she called her dad and was like, Dad, I'm looking at the census record and it shows that there's a child on here. And Dad was like, that's my little brother who died when he was a year old. And she had never known that about her family. And you want to talk about like her defenses came down. She ultimately, like she immediately felt this connection to this uncle that she had never known that died when he was one. And that like just fueled her passion to learn more, to start searching. Like then it wasn't like, I didn't have to, like she, you know, it's like, hey, let's look at this next. And you know, like all of a sudden she was like all over the place.
Like
after
a kid,
right?
Candy store.
Yeah, I got a picture. I'll show you the picture afterwards. You'll see the smile on her face when we're at the little screen at the FamilySearch library about her day. She's all like cheesy and stuff like that. Cause she just found this stuff, right? That's how it changes people. It heals hearts. It helps people. It helps tell the story. I mean, like for me, in fact, like, you know, I've been working in family history and stuff like that, and I'm still stuck in my genealogy. I need somebody, one of my Black genealogy friends, y'all got to help me, please.
Mom.
A couple help. People help me. So Sherry, come on now. I know you're coming to RootsTech, so help me break this brick wall with Ed Reed. But after going to Ghana, I went through this phase where I really didn't feel connected to be African American. Like, I'm gonna be honest. I hope like your listeners don't, and people watching don't be like, dude, what's wrong with you? But I stopped using the term African American. I started calling myself Black American because I didn't know from Africa where I went. So I felt kind of like fake, like hypocritical. Like, I'm African American. Yeah. Well, if I don't know where I'm from, how can I claim Africa as my heritage, right?
Yeah.
That was faulty thinking. But then I did my DNA. So I come back from Ghana after having this experience in Elmina Slave Castle. And I take a DNA test. I use Ancestry DNA. And I didn't, you know, I was like, this would be kind of fun to maybe film and let people know, you know, since I'm in this space and all this kind of stuff. And I filmed myself actually opening my results one night in my kitchen with my kids. And as I look at the results and I see, you know, my DNA, my ethnicity estimates showing where I'm from in Africa, I just started like crying. Like, for me, it was this hole that I didn't know I had in my heart that had just got filled. Because now I knew I am African, brothers. I am, you know, Congolese, Cameroonian, Nigerian, like I'm Yoruba, I am Fulani. I am all, like, it really helped me and rooted me in who I am by doing that. So for some people, it might not be the paper records. It may be you need to take a DNA test. Mm-hmm. And that, like, you know, starts to help, you know, again, put the puzzle, the piece of the puzzle together and help you feel more whole. That was it for me. Like, I give a presentation, like, connecting with ancestors completes us. Mm. That's what I felt in that moment. Like, I was finally complete in my identity of who I was as an African American male.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Most definitely.
Those DNA results are actually super cool. I love, like, because I'm half Black, half white.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously.
But, well, if you look at your DNA, it will tell you you're not half.
Oh, it's almost exactly half.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. 49.8.
It's like 49, 51. Yeah, okay.
You know? So it might be. Like, my daughter, you know, my wife's white, and she's like, you know, 86% Black. Yeah. And I'm like, see, I told you.
Yeah. 81%.
But, like, it's crazy to see those results. Like, I served my mission in Kenya, too. So I was like, oh, please have some East African. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
And there was, like, 2%, mm-hmm. which I was happy about. But, like, it's crazy just to see all of those different countries, to see where like, your past is from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you said, it's like opening a lock and a door. It's just to so many different feelings about who you are and where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's if you guys haven't done it, you need to do it. It's
do it. Do
matter,
it.
No matter what your ethnicity is, it's amazing to see. 'Cause like,
it is.
I have a buddy who's, you know, he's white, and he's like, oh, I'm full Danish. And like, he's like 20% Danish. And it's super cool to see those results.
Yeah, I've seen those videos of like
Henry Louis Gates.
Yeah. And he has celebrities come on and mm-hmm. he tells them their DNA, and they're like, wait, what? I've been told them this whole mm-hmm. time. And then they find out it's completely not what they thought.
The LL Cool J episode is the best one, I think. Because LL found out that through DNA that his grandfather wasn't his grandfather.
Oh.
Right. And it, like, the man who'd raised him, and then he was able to connect with the family that he really, that was really his biological family after all that. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Switching gears a little bit into mm-hmm. with what Roots Tech is.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an overview of what that is? Because I know that it's based here in Utah, and it sounds like it's like the Mecca conference of family history or genealogy.
Right.
Like, kind of, can you explain kind of what that is? And
you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You know, like, you know, for Muslims, that trip to Mecca, right, is kind of a really life-changing moment for many of them. And they, you know, desire to get back to that sacred space for them. The sacred space for genealogy is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, we have more people coming to the Family Search Library in Salt Lake City, Utah, to research their British roots than going to England to research their British roots. Because we got more records here, right?
Wow.
And so the brethren, you know, leadership of the church felt years ago to kind of bring together this, you know, family history and the increasing, you know, use of technology into a conference. And that conference has grown to be a global conference, the largest family history kind of conference and experience of its type. anywhere in the world. And we have it every year in Salt Lake City. This year, it's March 6th through the 8th. Okay. It's held at the Salt Palace Convention Center because that's the only spot that can hold all like all the people that come through here. I mean, in years past, it's been in like the 20, 30,000 people on site.
Wow.
But after COVID, you know, COVID kind of shut us down from doing in-person things. So we've gone to an always virtual conference that has an in-person component. So the in-person component is what will be happening here March 6th through the 8th at the Salt Palace. And it is where every industry player, every genealogist, every company adjacent to the genealogy world, every technology company that's connected to, you know, family data and personal data come, all converge for 3 days to have classes, to have, you know, keynote speakers from around the world that come on the, you know, main stage. Leaders of the church give instruction every year about, you know, what we can do to be more engaged in temple and family history work. I mean, it is just everything for everyone for every level, right? I mean, that we have the church has Family Discovery Day on Saturday, every Saturday. And so they invite families to come, bring your children. We got activities for children and stuff. Last year, Jimmer Fredette, they actually built a little basketball court.
Really?
Full court. And Jimmer Fredette came and played like one-on-one with a bunch of kids after his keynote, right? I mean, there's something for everyone. If you're just beginning your genealogy quest and don't know where to start, if you are an avid genealogist like your mom, you know, that just people come from all over the world to be a part of what we put together. Mm-hmm. And we like it's sponsored by Family Search. It's called Roots Tech. And really, we just want to open it up, open doors to everyone in the industry. We provide this, you know, the church subsidizes, you know, being able to put on this kind of a large conference for people to come to, because we want everyone, no matter what your skill level, age, ethnicity, to be able to connect with their family, mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, have these inspiring journeys of, you know, discovery and being able to make that connection between the past with the present and then look towards the future, right? So that's what Roots Tech is all about. And it's a lot for me, man. Everywhere.
This time of the year. Tech
is really, yeah, it takes a lot of work to pull it off, but we have a wonderful team that puts it all together every year. Jonathan Wing is leading the charge this year with everything. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. I've been to Roots Tech a few times. I went to the one that had Emmett Smith there.
Oh yeah.
And I got to meet him and shake his hand and stuff like that and take a picture with him. Really awesome guy. But the first time I was there, it just seems daunting. I mean, for someone who's going there for the first time, you just see all these people walking everywhere. Looks like Times Square inside of a building.
Right, you know, right. Honestly. In Salt Lake, which is surprising, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's just so many different rooms and places you can mm-hmm. go. So what would you recommend, or how to navigate when you first go into Roots Tech? What would you want to recommend to someone who's going for the first time?
I recommend two kind of things. One is you can go to rootstech.org to learn more about the conference, and you can actually build an online schedule. Mm-hmm. So you can see when keynotes are happening, when certain classes are happening. You can create your own schedule. You can download the Roots Tech app on your phone and do the same thing there. That will help you, you know who's going to be there. You can read about some of the classes that are going to be there and keynote speakers and kind of determine what you're going to do. The other thing I say is just come and be in the expo hall. You want to talk about where the heart of genealogy really is and where the spirit is just flowing in abundance and ancestors walking around and all kind of stuff is in the expo hall, right? Yeah. Just take the time to walk through the expo hall and just let the spirit guide you to who you want to talk to, right? Yeah. I had a crazy experience last year. My wife had a crazy experience last year that she shared with me. She was walking through the expo hall mm-hmm. and she's been several times, but like you said, it's just overwhelming and daunting. So she's like, I'm just going to go and just kind of let the spirit lead me. And she got led to this one booth called DNA Angels. And what they do is they take DNA and then they help you find your birth family if you, you know, are adopted and stuff like that. And she started talking to the woman there and was like, this is interesting because I have a younger brother who's adopted. I wonder if they might be able to help him with his biological family. So she called me. She's like, hey, I just talked to DNA Angels. Should I go get a DNA test for my brother? I'm like, 100%. Don't even ask your brother. Just get the DNA test for him.
Take a hair out of the sink.
So she went, got the DNA test, sent it to him. He took it, sent it in, sent the results to DNA Angels. And last March, he met his biological father at 47 years old.
Wow.
He had a different story about who his father was all his life, but the DNA doesn't lie and connected him with that family. And he met his father. His father had no other children, had never fathered any other children. He thought he might have fathered Jason, but never had any confirmation because never knew of him. And met his son. And then, unfortunately, he passed away in July. So he had his dad on this earth for just a few months, right? That he was able to actually connect with his biological father, all because my wife followed the spirit as she was walking through the expo hall at Roots Tech, and a company that she never would have thought of got her attention and created that experience for her brother.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So just do that. If you're trying to go, just that first experience, man, just let the spirit target, lead you to where you need to go and what you need to do there. Cause there's a lot to do. Wear comfortable shoes.
That's
the biggest one.
Don't be trying to be 20,000 steps at.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. It's a lot to get around. And so you comfortable shoes, comfortable clothes, come as you are. You don't have to dress a certain way or anything like that. Right. Yeah. Just come as you are and just enjoy, you know, and part of it is it happens every year. So you don't have to get all of it in one bite. You know, maybe this year you look at classes, next year you do expo hall, maybe, you know, or just take it at your pace. And find a buddy. Most likely you're going to find somebody there, even cousins you might be related to. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Have y'all ever done the relatives around me thing that the church does?
Oh, yeah. Man, we should do that now.
So we do relatives at Roots Tech, right? Okay. So here you got 10,000 people or so that are there at one time, and you can get on it. Every year we build the, in fact, I think it's actually live now that people who are going to Roots Tech can see if they're related to anybody else that's going to be at Roots Tech and meet up with a cousin.
Wow.
Right. Wow. So they're like, it's on the, you know, the proximity kind of thing they use it and stuff like that. And so I've seen tons of people be like, man, like I got like 13 cousins, like, and I'm like, I got to find them. So they start sending messages through the Family Search and Roots Tech app and like all that stuff. Wow. It is cool.
Where are you at?
Like to see that.
Hey, yo, cuz.
Exactly. I mean, really, like it's amazing. Like So I'll tell you this, I got all kind of experiences today.
Sure.
So 2023, right? This wasn't technically a relatives at Roots Tech experience, but it was an interesting connection that happened. So the director of my division at Family Search is Stephen Valentine, and his admin is Elise Smith.
Yeah.
And I was actually doing an interview with Jamie McGriff for television about like prepping for Roots Tech in 2023. And I was actually hoping to connect with one of my friends who's from Louisiana, Karen Harper Royal. She's director of the GU2, executive director of the GU272 Descendants, which is a community. Anyway, different one. Karen Royal. Anyway, Karen's from Louisiana, right? Okay. So she wasn't there when we were doing the filming and stuff. And so we found some other people in the library, had some good conversations with them. And then I started talking to Karen. I found her afterwards. She's like, oh, sorry, I was gone for lunch. You know, Salt Lake, I'm from Louisiana. We like our food. So, you know, I'm making, you know, shrimp and grits and all this kind of stuff in my hotel room. Like I bring a second suitcase to Salt Lake when I come just so I can get something I really like.
Yeah.
So she was so sorry I missed you earlier, but I'm here now. And she starts talking about this food she's making and she's black. And this white woman walks by and she's like, you talking about food from Louisiana? That reminds me of like my mama. I mean, she just, you know, like talking to this random, and I don't know this woman either. And Karen doesn't know this woman as well. And she introduced herself as Elise and they start talking and Karen's like, well, who are your people from Louisiana? If you said your mama, you know, cooked like this. And she's like, my family, like these are my surnames in my family. And like, Karen's like, I got these surnames in my family. And they start looking up stuff and find out that they are DNA cousins.
Wow.
Karen Harper Royal and Elise Smith, who's now an admin at Family Search, in that moment found out that they were DNA cousins at the Family Search Library the day before Roots Tech started. Wow. The interesting thing was Karen was also cousins with the two women that were being filmed on TV, and I didn't know it. Then two women were from Louisiana as well. Wow. And then this other white woman who was walking there was like, did y'all say you're from Louisiana? Like, and what are your surnames? And so there's five women, three black women, and two white women that are all cousins that they found out at Roots Tech for the first time. Wow. Because they were all there. It's crazy.
You know,
I got to show you the picture. Yeah, the picture. Yeah. We got to like.
Yeah, we'll put the picture up.
Okay.
I feel like the stuff like that only happens in Utah. Or just I guess with just the whole with family, with genealogy, stuff like that. Just you just see how God can just bring people together just in the most random areas.
It's not just crazy. In Utah. Yeah. You know, you brought up Melvin Collier, right? I remember sorry, I get another story. How much time we got?
That's what I'm here for.
So I went to a conference in Arlington, Virginia. One of the things I was looking for, it was right before it was because I was thinking about Roots Tech 2017 when we did that African Heritage Day. And I was thinking about who I wanted to invite to be, you know, keynote speakers for that day. So I was at a different conference and I was talking and I saw this brother, you know, and there's not, there are several black men in the genealogy space, but it's dominated by women. Mm-hmm. But I saw him, I was like, something said I need to talk to him. So, hey, you know, want to get some lunch, brother? I don't know you, you know, and you gave a great presentation. Can we chop it up a little bit? So Melvin and I went to lunch. And while I was at lunch, the Spirit said, invite him to speak at Roots Tech. Now, granted, that is not my job at Family Search to invite people to speak. That is held at a very higher level where elders are involved in who gets to speak at Roots Tech, right? But I felt in that moment that I needed to invite him to speak. And he said, sure, I'd love to speak. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing in your genealogy right now? And he's like, well, I'm, you know, trying to trace family and putting together this, you know, potential trip to Africa and all this kind of stuff. That was, I think, in probably May or something like that. Mm. And then, so I go back and I'm like, hey, can we have this guy speak? And they're like, well, yeah, something makes sense. We could probably figure out something, what you want to do, right? And then he sends me an email. He's like, Tom, I'm going to Africa in December because I found my DNA cousins in Africa.
Wow.
So he had taken a DNA test. And it found that he connected with a common ancestor that was in Africa. And the living cousins had taken a DNA test in Africa and they connected. And so he went over in December to meet his family, his cousins in Africa. This is Melvin, right?
Yeah. Yep.
When I asked him to speak in May, this had not happened yet. Hmm. It happened in September. So we sent a film crew with him to Ghana when he went and filmed the whole thing of him meeting his family. And that became part of his keynote at Roots Tech 2017. Wow. Was that experience he had. We made that connection in Virginia. You know, you said it happens in Salt Lake. Yeah, it does happen in Salt Lake, but it actually happens all over the world.
True.
Right? We are all connected. We are all one family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's why we put this whole conference together is you know, Elder Hamilton, Kevin Hamilton's the executive director or chairman of the board of Family Search. And he says, we are trying, and him and Elder Bednar have said, we're trying to rebuild the family tree of mankind.
Yeah.
Right? We are all brothers and sisters. We are all connected. We know in the temple, we all started Adam and Eve, right? Mm-hmm. Like we are all related in some way, shape, or form. So although we might have the genealogy mecca, if you will, in Salt Lake City, it is spread all over the world.
Ranching.
It is global. And we are trying to do our best to gather scattered Israel at this time, in this time of the Lord's kingdom.
That's awesome. It's crazy.
No, I love it. And I thank you. If anything, I want our audience to know from everything that you've shared and we've been discussing is God's plan is a family affair. Like everything from that family search offers is fulfillment. You know, like Mo brought up a great scripture about, you know, and is it Malachi?
Malachi 3.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Malachi 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. You know, this is all fulfillment. And I hope our audience is catching that and catching the spirit of the fulfillment of what Family Search is doing and what the church is doing and gathering all God's children in one. Because it's amazing, like just seeing it play out. Like we're literally able to see the scriptures alive, you know, through Family Search.
And it's not just for members of the church.
Yeah.
Right. I'm having spiritual experiences with those who are not of our faith because this is God's work, which is God's work is a spiritual work. And so I'm seeing people's hearts turned and changed and the healing that's happening among families and the connections that are happening and people feeling inspired, feeling like their ancestors are talking to them. I hear that all the time, right? Because this is part of God's plan for us to be connected in one big family chain you know, unbreakable chain bound to the Savior Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. ultimately, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how it's all working together. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was mm-hmm. the tech part of Roots Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what are some of the things that you can share that's upcoming? And like, what are things that are going to be featured in the tech side of
yeah.
part of Roots Tech this year?
Well, so last year, I'll go back to last year, and we're going to continue that this year, is we share, you know, the generative AI and the advances in generative AI are hitting, you know, the genealogy and family history world, like right with everything else.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing with the advent of that technology and increases how we can leverage that for family history research. Excuse me. One of the things that Family Search has done is we've created kind of a new experience on our website that was based off of generative AI. It's called Full Text Search.
Okay.
So there's billions and billions of paper documents that are out there, and we're trying to digitize them and index them and get them ready, published. And that's how you do your traditional search. Mm-hmm. But Full Text Search leverages AI technology to be able to look at an image, have the computer transcribe everything that's on that image, and put it in a platform that allows kind of specific search to find that information. So for African Americans, this has been a game changer in the last year.
Yeah.
Because if you go into the Full Text Search, it's part of what we call Family Search Labs. If you have to turn on that experiment, if you will, mm-hmm. and you go into the Full Text Search platform, you can find records for enslaved African Americans that you could never find any other way. Right? You're finding probates and wills, and you're finding other land records where Negro slave John is being identified. Never before could we search Negro slave John mm-hmm. until this full text search launched. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and we have just, like, the Freedmen Bureau records I was telling you earlier about, mm-hmm. right? We just parsed out like the 1.5 million digital images that were genealogically relevant, but there were way more than just that. There were letters that, you know, the assistant commissioners or folks were writing back and forth, and they were naming names in those records. Well, those are so many, you know, it's hard to kind of filter through something that's that expansive when it's not focused on genealogy and family history. Mm-hmm. So we didn't index those to begin with, but we loaded them into Full Text Search. Actually, we loaded them at the end of last year. We hadn't really told a bunch of people, but all my friends are finding that the rest of the Freedmen Bureau records that had gone unindexed are now fully searchable on Full Text Search. And so now they're able to find even more stuff there because of AI, because we're leveraging that. And that's not just for African American records. We're doing global records. I know we're doing like notarial records in Mexico and, wow. you know, it's done in all languages. Right. We're just kind of building on that. And at Roots Tech, every year we have these forums. So there's going to be a family search technology forum. There's going to be like an innovation and technology forum. I don't even know what all the other, that's just family search. You know, that's one yeah. thing for family search, but we've got Ancestry there. We've got Find My Past. We've got MyHeritage. MyHeritage is an interesting company because they've done a lot with generative AI and photos.
Oh.
And so now, like, you're creating these stories from photos. So you could take an old picture and you can actually animate the picture telling a family story. Wow. And it looks like it was like a video done.
Wow.
It's crazy. Like I love MyHeritage, man. They're fun for that.
I've done that. I've taken a picture of my great grandfather mm-hmm. and he just sits like this. He's looking all stoic and everything, but then it brings it to life and his eyes are blinking. He's like looking around and looking at the camera. It's like I'm looking at him for real. And I've never met the man in my life.
Right.
And that's so cool.
Like I've shared that with people. They have cried when they're like, you've brought my grandmother back to life. Mm-hmm. Right. And what MyHeritage is doing, leveraging generative AI to bring these photos and give these other experiences. Now they've added where you can add audio and your grandfather, great grandfather can speak.
Wow.
What?
Right? And share more about his story and stuff like that. It is crazy. So you got to come to the Innovation and Tech Forums or the Family Search Forum and learn all the things that we're doing this year. It's taken over everything.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. So just another question for you, Tom. So how is Roots Tech 2025 spotlighting African-American genealogy, and what unique resources or sessions are available for attendees in that space?
Yeah, I've made it my personal thing to make sure we are represented well, right? And so, you know, they're interesting things, like from keynotes, for example. This isn't necessarily African-American, but Nelson Mandela's grandson, Indaba Mandela, is one of our keynote speakers. He's our virtual international keynote speaker. Oh, wow. So here's the grandson of Nelson Mandela, you know, that's going to be speaking. That's one way we're trying to connect to the African, those of African heritage around the world, right?
Right.
We have classes from all around the world. So there's obviously classes that are for Native Africans and that kind of help them with their genealogy. We've got some great experiences that we've recently built for Africa, tapping into oral genealogies that we've collected on the continent over the past several years. Yeah. Almost 300 million names have been collected through oral genealogies on Family Search. Wow. For African American, we've got, you know, some of the top presenters in the African American genealogy space will be doing classes teaching different methodologies. LaBrenda Garrett Nelson's going to be doing that. I got a friend, Dan Gettiman, a white man in Louisville, who's done a lot of research on Civil War military records for blacks.
Wow.
And is going to be talking about what he's uncovered from there. So we have a ton of classes that we've done that we're doing this year that are new that people can go to. They're classes that are in person as well as online, but also we have classes that we've done in the past that are available on rootstech.org. So anything that we filmed and broadcast in previous years, for the most part, is on family. So there's probably 200 or so classes on African American genealogy. Everything from how to interview your grandma to, you know, how to interpret your DNA results and connect with cousins to methodology of, you know, uncovering your enslaved ancestors and how to find black people in the census. I mean, it's all there already online. Yeah. That you can have that experience from your home anywhere, in addition to the stuff that we're going to be doing in person when you're at Roots Tech. So it's, and like you said, you're asking African-American, of course, but this is a global conference. Yeah. So the same exists for Hispanic, Latino, for Native American, you know, and First Nations, indigenous people, for, you know, Asian, Pacific Islanders, those from, you know, I mean, just all over the world. But, you know, those minority communities specifically in the United States and in Canada are going to be featured at various things that we're doing at Roots Tech. So I have to send y'all the link to go to the African American Roots Tech resources page that has your kind of entry into all the things that we've done. I did something for Juneteenth 2023, and all those presentations are available for you to look at and stuff through that portal.
So, awesome. We'll put the link in the description for you guys to check that out.
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's fostering not only African Americans, but all of God's children, a community of all backgrounds. And
it's a global event. I mean, 40 languages that we have classes that'll be done in. We have our hosts come from around the world. So we have like a Korean host so for the content that's going to be played in Korea, we have somebody who's narrating and doing all that, hosting all that stuff in Korea, in Japan, in Brazil, you know, in Latin America, all over the place, man. It is truly a global conference. You will hear all kind of languages spoke there too. Yeah. You know, Salt Lake is like the United Nations. I mean, it's a global thing.
All nations flow into it, right?
All nations. Wait a minute. Is there a scripture? Nations shall flow into. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think that Salt Lake Temple has something to do with that. That's just me. I'm just 2026. Hopefully it'll be open.
That's awesome.
Well,
let me go back to my
spirits is flowing, man. I mean, this is great, man.
That's just a good question, a good answer. I was going to ask a thought, because when we were on the phone, you shared a few spiritual experiences, but I kind of want to wrap it up to bring it in with, there's a stigma about family research or just family history that's boring and that it's just too much time. But obviously that's changed now. Mm-hmm. We have so many resources that are at our hands. We got them in our phones.
Come on now.
I mean, we can record stuff. We can be able to see things. We got AI now being integrated in these things. So it's just making our lives so much easier.
It is.
But what can we do to help the youth understand why family history is important? Because I really feel that I know for me, when I was looking at family history when I was younger, it was not the spot because I was sitting in there. My mom's in there in the genealogy center looking through microfilm. Yeah, I'm just sitting in the dark, just like, oh, can we go home? You know, and so, but things have changed so much in the last 25 years, the last 30 years. And so what can we, what can the youth understand about why family history is important and what they can do now with the access they have?
Yeah, you know, I love the youth, you know, served as bishop that I gave, you know, 4.5 years of my time to really trying to build the youth and trying to inspire them in various ways. And family history is a way that I think a lot of our youth struggle to feel and recognize the spirit. If y'all remember like the missionary guide back in the day, the commitment pattern is you help those who are learning about the church to feel and recognize the spirit. Mm-hmm. Our youth need that as well. Mm-hmm. And family history can be a spiritual experience. I think you have to lead them in ways that are meaningful to them, right? Leveraging the power of AI right now is a way to engage youth. I mean, they like, you know, it's funny, like I do all kind of crazy stuff with AI, but I took a transcript of a record, kind of a sale of an enslaved woman, and I made a poem out of it. And I was like, I asked my daughter, like, could we make this into a song? And she's like, oh, that'd be kind of a cool song to make. And so she started like coming up with some guitar riffs and stuff. We didn't record it yet, so okay. I can't play it.
When are we gonna hear it?
Right. But I mean, that's a way that I've tried to lever, you know, get my kids in. Like indexing has always been a way. What can they contribute? We've got a new kind of thing on Family Search called Get Involved. So traditional indexing is kind of evolving into this new Get Involved, where it's kind of micro experiences that really cater to the youth. So you can get on your phone and you can quickly, you know, kind of review, did the computer get the transcription right? Because that's what we're using, generative AI and computer assisted indexing to get these things right. And then a human kind of goes and confirms it. And youth can jump on the Family Search app, the Get Involved app that we have from Family Search, and they can go double check and say, does that name look like Martinez? And they're like, yes. And they can do 20 of them and gamify it. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, that's the thing, like, that will get kids involved in it as well, is you, once you get them connected to it and they see that they can contribute, they all, I mean, that's our, you know, the generation of youth today really want to do something that's meaningful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You see them very much committed to causes that help improve things. And if you can help them understand how this improves their life and the lives of others by being involved in it, then, and you show them fun ways to get involved in it, then they start to have these spiritual experiences for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm, you know, it was one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I had in the temple is when my daughter did baptisms for my mother who died in 2018. And it was because, you know, it's challenging to talk about it, but, there's a man who, when I joined the church, was very influential in my life, Bill Myers, and his family kind of adopted me. Right. And Bill was a fun guy. Loved to play sports. I could eat at his house all the time. And unfortunately, Bill passed away like suddenly. And it was like, man, like, you know, he was a young dude when he passed away. My mom was, you know, near, like, in her late 70s or whatever. So when I went and Bill was a member of the church, like I said, and so when I went to do the baptisms, you know, when I baptized my daughter for my mother in the temple, right, when I lifted my daughter out of the water, I heard Bill Myers say, good job, Tommy Reed. Mm. Wow. And like, he wasn't there. He's dead. We're clear. But we're in the temple and I knew he was there and he was witnessing. He knew my mom. He knew me. He knew Jessica, you know, and he wanted to make sure I knew that he was there and that the Lord approved of the ordinance. And when I shared that experience with my daughter, like, I'm like, did you hear that? She's like, I don't know if I heard that. I'm like, Bill Myers is here. And she's like, oh, and she's like, she's feeling it. Right. I'm like, there are more people in this room than just the two witnesses, the recorder, the sisters holding the towel. Right. Yeah. There are a bunch of people here witnessing mom being baptized and you doing that ordinance. And one of them's Bill Myers. And he wanted to make sure I knew he was here by saying, good job, Tommy Reed, because that's what he called me all the time. When I hustled on the basketball court, good job, Tommy Reed, you know, playing softball, good job, Tommy Reed, baptizing my mama, good job, Tommy Reed.
Wow.
And that will stay with my daughter forever. Mm-hmm. That experience we had together in the temple. right? And so she's been the one that in my family who loves to jump into family history. Whenever I say, oh, yeah, let's look at some stuff. Yeah. Let's find some stuff. You know, she's finding photos of, you know, her great aunts. Mm-hmm. One played the violin, one played the guitar. She plays the guitar. Her older sister plays the violin. She found this photo. It was like, wait a minute. Aren't they sisters? Yep. Just like you and your sister. Wow. Right? Yeah. Like she got connected into family history because she had that spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's key for anything to become an anchor for us is that we have those spiritual experiences and it makes us want to, man, I want that again. I want to experience that again. I want to feel that again. I mean, I think that's when I first had my first spiritual experience with family history. My mom's pretty much done a lot of the work. We're back to slaves now looking for people, mm-hmm. but there's a specific couple. They're a husband and wife, Mingo and Memba Bond. They were slaves and my wife and I were able to go and do sealings for them at the temple. And I had this experience that like he was there and he was like I didn't hear the audible version, but he was like, thank you. I've been wanting to be with my wife. And it was just this overwhelming, just like connecting with someone who's from like the 1700s slaves, you know, and mm-hmm. it was that truly feeling of like, I freed them. I got them connected. And I feel like I just connected this whole chain of that's just been holding them, you know, and it's just experiences like that. You seek for those. Those are things that change us and become spiritual anchors. So family history is something that I think everyone needs to make a priority, especially the youth. I think with AI now, you can do so much cool stuff now. Like when you said about having your like having them talk. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine having your great grandfather speaking to you now, mm-hmm. speaking to your kids and saying, what would he say to you? You mm-hmm. know, and so there's so many experiences we can do.
But you can also start with yourself now, right? Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about the Family Search app is memories.
Yeah.
Is I'm up, you know, we all like, you throwing stuff. I've seen your stuff on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff, right? Throw that on Family Search. Share those experiences and stories there so True. That your kids yeah. and your grandkids and your great grandkids can go back and they can take what you wrote down as a story and put it into some AI generation thing with the photo that you added to the story and make you talk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I my mother-in-law before she passed, here's a white woman, served as a missionary for the church in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963 and was on the street when she heard the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church go off wow. in Birmingham. Wow. Oh. Her kids didn't fully know that story until I just got on the phone and recorded her conversation one day and put it into Family Search. I was like, hey, mom, have you had any experience with civil rights, you know, in your life as a white woman? I know you served in the South and stuff like that. And she was like, yeah, actually, I don't know if I've ever told the kids this, but I was on the street in Birmingham, Alabama, when the 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed and those four girls were killed. Mm. And I was like, what? Now my mother-in-law is deceased. Mm. I have her voice telling her story on Family Search now, mm. wow. right? That like my kids love that story. Everybody knows that story in the family now because I shared it out mm-hmm. with everybody. Like it's easily shareable and stuff like that. So it's meaningful. I mean, obviously we want to do, you know, the Lord's instituted this program as part of God's plan mm-hmm. for our ancestors, but for us and for, you know, our descendants for the future as well. And we can start now by documenting our stuff, telling our own stories.
100%. The age that we're in, we have phones, we have cameras, we have recording. We should be able to do that anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family Search doesn't do video yet, so this podcast won't necessarily be up on my Family Search soon. But you best believe if I can get the audio, I'm going to put this on Family Search in my Family Search account.
Yeah.
As something that happened to me on this day. You know, February 8th, 2025, Tom Reed was on Brothers in the Foyer podcast. And now it's going to be memorialized for now on, you know, for eternity. Mm. Really.
Love it.
So thank y'all for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope folks will take what they learn and implement it in their own lives, right? Mm. Get involved, do something. come to Roots Tech if you want to get, you know, that boost to get started.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good energy at Roots Tech that will motivate you to get started. So come spend a couple of days with us or spend the family discovery day with us and start your family history journey if you haven't started or continued or restart or whatever. Learn something new. Do something new.
Download
right?
the app.
And the Lord will bless you, mm-hmm. right? That's the whole thing is the Lord blesses the faithful, right? This is we have family history and temple work to gather scattered Israel on both sides of the veil. Mm-hmm. Right. The reason I do this work at Family Search is, yes, I want to serve all my brothers and sisters, you know, all over the world, faith or no faith. But also at the end of the day, I want to make sure that as many people have the opportunity to get into the kingdom of God, to bind themselves to the Savior through temple ordinances by the work that I'm doing with family history. Because mm-hmm. those two are inseparable. Temple work is family history work. Yeah. And family history work should be leading to temple work. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
Honestly, the Spirit has been felt. Our viewers, we hope you guys were able to feel the Spirit as well and get some insight of what family history is and how it can help you in making some new steps and making progress for discovering your roots and where you're from. We're really excited for Roots Tech coming up as well. Mm-hmm. And
y'all gonna be there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes. We definitely gonna be there.
Yeah, I'm excited to have y'all in the house and kind of show you around some things. You're gonna see some things, be like, wow, I didn't know it was like if you haven't been before.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. So hopefully your viewers, maybe some of y'all will come and be like, hey, I saw you on Brothers in the Fort. Right?
Yeah.
Come meet the brothers in person.
Yeah, we'll be there live on location. So if you see us, we'll probably stand out a little
come
bit.
Come hollow. Yeah.
There's more of us there.
Yeah.
Last year I did a blackout picture, meaning I got all the black people out to take a picture with our keynote speaker, Lynn Jackson, who was black. Yeah. And it was a beautiful picture. I mean, I had to panorama it, right? Because it was so many people that were there. So we will stick out. Will definitely stick out. Big dude there, but
just make sure to leave the Jordans at home.
Yeah. Wear some comfortable shoes, Hakas. Yeah.
I like my pandas that I'm rocking. Yeah, there you go.
Fresh. Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being here and meeting us in the foyer. If this episode inspired you and you felt the Spirit, please like it, share it with your friends, your family, and we hope to see you at Roots Tech as well. Thank you so much for being here. And if you felt inspired to want to support our podcast, you can go in the description below and donate to our cause so we can keep these conversations going. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys in the next one. Inviting all to come and try.